CliffCentral.com.
All right, people to see, places to go. As I said, in a busy lineup of stuff for this morning, we're going to be joined by Alan Ford shortly. But I just wanted to let you know that Blind History Season 6 is about to start, and we're going to decide on who to include in the next couple of episodes. So we want your input on this, please. We have inventors, we've got artists, generals, rulers, explorers, writers, really incredible people from history, and there's a long list of them. And what we've done is actually put together a short list, and we want you to help us shorten it even more. So if you go along to cliffcentral.com, you just scroll down on the homepage for the link, and you will find it there, and we want you to vote. So, you know, depending on obviously who gets the most votes, that's who we will be covering in the next episodes. And we've got, I think, 13 openings, so we need the top 13, essentially. And if you go along and vote there, we would appreciate it very much, especially if you're a Blind History fan. Just go and check it out on cliffcentral.com, main page, scroll down. Cast your vote. You can vote, I think, for as many, you know, different people as you want, as many times, because we don't, you know, the more passionate you are about it, the more likely we are to want to cover it. We want to make sure that we touch on a number of really interesting people. So we've put a little short list together, about 30-odd names, and if you want to just scroll through them, find the one that you think is the best, vote for it, or vote for a bunch of them. It's up to you. Totally up to you. Bulelo's not going to be with us tomorrow because he is going to be in the Titicaca Forest. You know, he goes there. Mm. He's a very spiritual human being. He goes there to meditate.
It's about the fourth chakra. What you've got to do, just give me a second.
The fourth chakra.
So when you do go down there, what you've got to engage with is a second part of yourself, because yes, we reduce ourselves to the meat and visceral, but actually there's so much more to us. And, you know, as a Taurus, it's so hard for me to find love. Yeah. So
what a lot of nonsense.
Like, listen, if you do go to that part of the world, those people are real there. Like, yes, if you live in the Midlands, you know them. Yeah, like no shoes and the ankle bracelet made of material and the hair's uncombed. And a very fair, like really out in the ether.
So sounds amazing.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, we'll catch up with Bulelo on Wednesday again and find out how it's going down there. But first things first, we get to talk to Alan Ford, who's well known to everybody on this show. He's well known to CliffCentral.com as a part of our family. He's had his own show here for a long time, and he is currently on tour around the country with Adcock Ingram OTC. And they're doing this incredible thing called Hopetober, and I thought it would be fun to check in with Alan because he knows about this stuff and to find out what he can tell us about it. How's it, Al? How are you?
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you.
First of all, where in the country are you?
I'm actually in Johannesburg.
Oh.
I just got back in from Durban.
Okay.
So, it's nice to go around the crazy country, and life is good. I'm so happy to be back in studio. How's it, guys?
It's virtually anyway. So, Al, I mean, I saw you 2 weeks ago now at the Sponsors of Brave event, which was really incredible. You kind of honor and give credit to journalists who are making a difference in telling stories in South Africa, which we know is an area that needs a lot of help, and they don't get a lot of recognition, and it's just great that Adcock Ingram OTC are doing this. But you guys are also doing, I say you guys because you're involved in this in some way, but you can explain who the real heroes here are, going around the country. And what is Hopetober?
So Gareth, Sudhir Rampersad, the MD of Adcock Ingram OTC, and I was sitting around about a year and 2 months ago, and we thought, you know, we were talking about what was lacking in South Africa, and he came up with a concept to say, you know, we have Movember.
Yes, of course.
And we have all these different type of events, or Dry July for people that drink too much, or all those type of things. But so what about the concept of hope? And I think hope is one of the most important things that we need in our society, Gareth. You know, we forget that we're in a space at the moment where a lot of people are down, lost their jobs.
Yes.
A lot of people are in very bad relationship situations. And I just think overall, and especially the healthcare industry, there was a lull. So we thought, take October and then create Hopetober. And let this be a month that creates jobs, let's create new ideas. So that was the thought pattern. And then what ended up happening was Matthew Cunahan and I were at Riverville Hotel. You know where that car was in the bush that day?
Oh, right. And, yes, the woman you told us about. I remember that.
Yes, I told you that. So we were sitting there on a Sunday having lunch, and he said, you know, he has this idea about this bus going around the country spreading hope with song.
Mm.
And so the concept to launch Hopetober, the month, which we're now in, was born. And it was quite difficult because the idea was to take a bus, an open-air bus, and wrap the bus,
mm-hmm.
And then go from hospital to hospital singing some of the most popular South African tracks, speaking to hope and love and joy and all that type of stuff.
I mean,
that's what we did.
Where do you guys go though? Because if a bus just pulled up outside my house, I'd think it was a bit odd. Where do you go in the country? And there are obviously some places that need a message of hope a lot more than others. I mean, music is a great way of doing this, by the way, and I think it's terrific because you're also giving people who are in the entertainment business work to do because they've had a very tough time as well.
Well, that was the thought pattern. And, you know, I did the entertainment and music shows, so I decided to bring on people that I knew that were really struggling last year. So let me tell you what happened this year. This year we extended this whole thing. We did it a second time. So the bus is wrapped, Gareth. We tell the hospital we're coming to them. Okay. And basically all the nurses, the patients and people come outside. And so you have about 800 to 1,000 people, sometimes less, at each hospital. And we pick 5 hospitals per city. So so this is now Toktober Bus of Song and Hope 2021. It's brought to you obviously by Adcock Ingram, as you said, OTC sponsors of Brave. And it's about, so we went to, this week we were in Cape Town, we went to Tigerberg Hospital, had about 800 people. We've got 5 top singers on the bus. So I've got, you know, who used to co-host with me, Craig Barney on the bus. We've got well-known Afrikaans singer Leah. We've got, Lelo, Atimani, who's from The Voice. We've got Mortimer Williams from Skier and Skarm, top South African singer. And we've got Vicky Sampson this year on the bus. And so they sing from African Dream to Toto's Africa. There's an African medley, which includes Sonny Clegg. They do some really great songs. They do about a half an hour set.
Yeah.
And then the bus says goodbye to everybody and then goes off to the next hospital. So we went to Tigerberg, Somerset Hospital in Cape Town. These are some hospitals just in the Western Cape. We just did Durban this past Thursday. Well, it was rained on Thursday, so we had to do Friday. And this week, we do Johannesburg and Pretoria, which is going to be a bomb. It's really going to be a bomb.
All right. I love this. So basically, I mean, you know, for anybody who's still confused, because you had to explain it to me, and I think I get it. It's just an opportunity for us to also give thanks to people in the healthcare industry and to people at our hospitals, because they're really the ones who've borne the brunt of a lot of the heavy lifting that had to be done around COVID and everything else. Plus, it's been such a weird environment. We've had lots of sad stories and, you know, people are worried and they're not feeling particularly good about the state of lockdown and all the rest of it. So this is really an opportunity for people to feel good, to enjoy some live music, and to be a part of an event where they don't have to be putting themselves in danger. I mean, it's very clever. I like this.
And people come into to the parking lot, the bus parks there. We perform from the bus.
Mm-hmm.
We do our We Will Rise challenge with the Ndlovu Youth Choir. We do that particular dance, and they can win some money by going to News 24. And so overall, the whole concept is just to get people happy and feeling hopeful and creating joy and creating happiness. And so that's what Hopetober is about. And then throughout the month, we run various competitions where we try to make people have hope in their life. But like encouraging people, the whole idea is, Gareth, could you imagine? You know, the most important thing, love is incredible and joy is incredible, but without hope, we really have very little. So and at the moment, I think we need hope.
Yeah,
that's what this is.
No,
and
I think
it's so cool to have the top singers doing it.
Well, this is why I wanted to have you on the show, really. I mean, you and I can talk, and I do want you to come in one morning as a guest host because we've got a lot to catch up on, and you've got some...
Oh, I've tell you some crazy stuff. I've done some mad stuff.
Yeah, I know. And people want to hear all that from you, but I thought it was a good opportunity since you're doing this Hopetober tour at the moment just to update people on what's going on, because there are people making things happen and doing good work and helping others all the way through here, and I think it's terrific. I just Tracy says here, my son was a patient of the Red Cross Children's Hospital's oncology unit, and the nurses and doctors there are absolutely amazing. Thank you for what you guys do, Alan. That's very nice. So
thanks, Tracy.
Yeah, it's good work. And Al, we'll get you on one morning to talk to us about what else you've got going on in your life. You've got some funny stories, as you said.
Always crazy stuff, and I'm cuckoo. But some other interesting things just to tell you. So tomorrow is Johannesburg, and Wednesday is Pretoria. Uh-huh. In Joburg, we've got a place like Milk Park Hospital, Helen Joseph. We're going to be at the Sunning Hill Hospital. Mm-hmm. So that's some of those. In Pretoria, the following day, we're going to I can't remember what hospitals, but we're going to be around. Just go to the Sponsor Brave site, and you can have a look at some of the – where's my press release? I don't have it morning. But.
Okay, so there are a bunch of performers here, and some of these people you would only ever see in theater or on stage, and you get to see them on this bus. And you know, are ordinary people allowed to go there as well, or is it just the people who are at the hospital?
Absolutely. So you can just come in your car, pull up in your car, and sit in the parking lot and come and watch the – come and watch the show. That's, you know, it's all about just making, but it's lovely to see sick people coming out of the hospitals, and you can see that these people are very ill, and they sit there and you're literally bringing joy into their lives.
Well, I mean, what happens in a hospital? It's not exactly the best place to find yourself, especially when the weather is getting as nice as it is now. And I do love the month of October. I think it's great that you've got this particular month. But it must be horrible to have to spend that time inside a hospital recovering. This will at least pep you up a little bit.
Nice. That's the thought pattern. Let me give you some of the other hospitals in Pretoria. We've got Steve Biko, Gareth, we've got Unitas, we've got Pretoria East Hospital we're going to. We're also going off to Zuid Afrikaans Hospital, and then going to Chris Hani in Johannesburg, and as I mentioned, Helen and Joseph. So we've done Durban and Cape Town, now we hit the Gauteng hospitals, and the best is to see Vicky. To me, I mean, they're all incredible, as you know. But to hear Vicky Sampson sing African Dream,
she's great.
Blow your mind. And it doesn't cost you anything.
There we
go. So Hopetober.
I love it. All right, Al, thanks very much for letting us know.
It's so good to see the team. Maybe I'll come in next week Wednesday.
That'll be good. Okay, we'll sort it out.
I've got crazy things. Yeah. I've done them. I've got insane stuff to tell you.
You got to tell us about rehab. That's something else.
I went to rehab.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk to Al about this rehab nutcase. All right, we'll find out from him next week when he's on. Says he's a lunatic.
Self-confessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy to tell you.
I do have to refer to, we had Dr. Hanan on earlier on, and he was talking about mania. And I see a lot of comments coming through from Lawrence and Robin and a bunch of others and Jen who are talking about their own experiences of this, either in their partners or their dads or someone else that they know. And it seems like we've really hit a nerve here. So I'm delighted that we could cover that this morning. Well done to Caleb for bringing it up. But, you know, there are people who are quietly suffering from all kinds of things. And it's important that there are institutions and people who are spreading hope, and this is why I like what's going on with Adcock Ingram and with what Alan's doing at the moment. We need to do what we can for others. Massively important. Not everybody's coping, and you can see it. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are really having a tough time. And if you do see the Hopetober bus, give them a hoot or a wave, and share a picture on your favorite social media platform with hashtag Hopetober Brave to encourage these warriors who are committed to giving hope a chance.
I remember being in hospital about 3 years ago with pneumonia, and it was the nurses at my particular ward, before my eyes even thought of opening themselves, would start singing in the morning and singing these songs of hope, etc.
That's nice.
And it was actually just so uplifting to wake up to that.
Right.
Your carers who are just getting themselves ready for the day, putting themselves in a good mood.
That's great.
It's just really amazing. So I'm sure that something like this would make a big difference to people.
Well, apparently we've got something else to make you feel good a little bit later on, and that is Collectomania. And we'll be talking to Matt about his collection of coffee makers and coffee machines. So we spent last week doing a little bit of coffee with the guys from Starbucks, and this week we're going to talk about coffee makers. And I know Bolero's got one of those French presses that he uses for his coffee, but you've got to see Matthew's collection. He'll be sharing that with us a little bit later on. But before we get to that, I just thought I'd throw this in here. This is a headline I saw on the internet yesterday. From Google to Gusto, this is a Forbes magazine article, how this chief people officer creates safe spaces for employees to learn and develop. I got to tell you, this safe space thing is really wearing me down a little bit now.
I knew that's where you were going.
No, I just don't think that this is the right way to be telling people the world is. There aren't any safe spaces, everybody. We've got to remember, you could be in the most safe space. You could have created a little safe space in the World Trade Center in 2001, and then suddenly it becomes an unsafe space through no fault of anyone in the building. There are things that happen in the world. What we need to do is prepare people for the world outside of the safe space, not keep giving them safe spaces. That's not going to make them better. You don't become better by retreating into your hole and covering your head with your duvet. You become better by learning how to deal with the things that life throws at you. And they're going to be some of those things. I don't like this idea that we're telling children and even adults, according to this article on Forbes, we're telling children and adults that you can retreat behind these walls and you'll be, in inverted commas, safe. And there's a lot of this shit that's been going on with the pandemic as well. It's this idea of safety. And what's important about being alive and being a productive member of society is learning that somewhere out there, there's going to be something unsafe. And you've got to be okay with that. You've got to have the tools to deal with that. Am I being unfair? Am I being unreasonable?
Well, it depends what the article says, because, I mean, people do need to feel enfranchised if you want them to do incredible things, right? So if the safe spaces she's talking about is, I want to build environments where people feel like they can make mistakes and that they aren't going to fear the sack, because we know the corporate world, you just can't make mistakes, otherwise you're gone tomorrow.
But you should fear being sacked. I mean, that's what keeps a lot of people working hard. No, seriously, there isn't a day in my radio career that I felt safe. You know this, Leanne. Yeah. There wasn't a morning where we couldn't have been fired if we said something wrong or did something wrong. And it kind of keeps you on your toes. You have to deliver. There's no such thing as a safe job, Mbulelo. What?
I mean, imagine being a aviation controller.
Jeez, air traffic controller. Yeah, that.
Yeah. And then having, but you see, at the same time, maybe that is a career where you need the most psychological support, but only after your shift.
Yeah, but you have to give people time. Like, I don't care how good both of you were at the beginning, you were still given time. Like, you can't just, you're in or you're out. It's like, you got to give people time. Just because I introduce you to a good idea, it doesn't mean you're going to be an expert tomorrow morning.
I agree with you. And obviously, you know, for like an infant needs to feel safe. Yeah. It needs to be in its mother's arms or whatever. But there comes a point where you're not an infant anymore. I mean, Flea says here, and I think this is a good point. Flea 143 says, everything worth doing in life is risky. If you're not taking calculated risks, you're not living. And we've been sold a bill of goods when it comes to the safe thing. People have been sold this bill of goods that if you just do this and you just do that and you just tick these boxes, then you will have a perfect, happy, safe life where nothing will ever go wrong. That's just not true. And it's also not possible. No. Anyone who promises you that, you should be very suspicious of.
It really comes down to balance. I often turn to my mom and say, why did you protect me so much? She loved and protected me so much that when it came to things like divorce, I was completely shocked and had a meltdown because I didn't realize how these things worked. I thought everything was going to be, a bed of roses. So there really has to be a balance.
So a lot of people are agreeing with Mbulelo here. So Bailey says, I agree with what Bulelo is saying. You need a space to experiment, and most of the time that can go wrong.
I think it's probably a little more complicated. Listen, I want to be clear. The safe of NGO people that they talk about and sort of that crap, I'm not having it. But it just in my world, because I come from a father who created a space where that was safe for me to go and do whatever I want, and that's important, is you need alpha. What alphas do brilliantly is ensure that there are environments where people can express themselves and make mistakes, and we can absorb that. That's a whole different thing if this lady's talking about that. But if she's going off on like a safe spaces in the whole world, then I'm not about that. But I love alphas that create spaces where people are going to make mistakes.
Sure.
Like, we need that more in the corporate world. Well, you know, but I'm not having like softy BS, right? I'm not talking about that safe spaces with Oprah and Gail kind of stuff.
Then basically we're then you and I are in agreement. But Michael says, and I think he articulates it better than either of us, he says, can we not amalgamate the two ideas? We can create safe spaces in the working world and educate people on dealing with the realities of life. I'm not convinced it's either one or the other.
As no part of life is, that's an awesome statement. As no part of life is, nothing is absolute. If it's working, that's a great.
Yeah, statement. And not everyone has the benefit of being at home and having a safe environment there, where they can air their problems or what their day was like. They might not have family members at all, or they may already be in an unsafe space in their homes, and then see and work as the safe space.
But the greatest thing I believe you can ever do for somebody, right, is that they can keep themselves safe. It's one thing my father did for me is be able to handle yourself. Like, that's the greatest gift my father ever gave me, is don't take anything off anybody. So whilst others can create safe spaces for you, you must create the safe space for yourself. That's actually when you weaponize someone to go and deal with the real world. You don't take anything off anyone. Don't do it.
Well, and that's. I think it's more important that you have the tools when an unsafe world is on your doorstep to deal with it than to be constantly reassured that you're in a safe space. Because the moment you're not, you fall apart, which is kind of what Leanne was saying.
100%.
So anyway, I just thought that was an interesting point that was made in that article, and we don't have to go on about it, but I think it's something that's so prevalent at the moment. It's all people are talking about right now in the world, is this idea of safety and safe spaces and, you know, keeping yourself safe from the coronavirus. You can't. Like, that world doesn't exist, and it is dishonest of people to promise that to other people. Usually, and this is the point that a different Michael is making, politicians, priests, bankers, and pharmaceutical companies all promise safety as some part of our experience. The best safe is the one that you install into the concrete wall in your house.
Well said.
That's a good point.
Even that's not safe.
But it's a tough time, Gareth. This is such a great and important thing to talk about, is people need to turn themselves into beasts. Like, it's also not everyone else's job to make your world safe. I know we need compassion and we need community. I love these things as well. But you got to be a beast, because the world is so real, and they will get you. The world will get you if you're not. Don't take anything off people.
Well, I always find it very sad when I see someone who was raised in cotton wool and their parents kind of went to the trouble of making the world easy for them. In other words, not exposing them to any difficulty, danger, harm, anything that pushed them beyond their comfort zone. And you see these people and they then hit a roadblock or an obstacle or something in the way of what they perceive to be their life path. And it just completely ruins them. And you see these people falling apart before your eyes, and it's very, very sad. I think those parents have done those kids an enormous disservice. I think the same goes for if you work in a place and you're never challenged, you're never pushed, you're never forced to do better. I think the same goes for relationships where you're with somebody and you just kind of settle for each other and you expect nothing rather than pushing each other to be better. I think all of those situations just result in worse people, not better ones. And when the shit hits the fan, those people are ill-equipped to come right afterwards, and they fall in a heap. It's not good.
Yeah, you think about how different school was when you and I grew up, Gareth, where half the time we didn't even tell our parents that we were in trouble from a teacher or that we'd been bullied by someone.
No.
We just dealt with it on our own.
Yeah.
And now you've got helicopter parenting and parent and teacher associations, which are so prevalent. I don't know which one is right and which one is wrong, but I can't say it because I've experienced benefits in both worlds.
Well, it's probably exactly what some of these comments have been, that it's somewhere in between, and I like that idea. I think we've just got to keep a balance, because it does seem to me that at the moment a lot of the conversation in public, the public conversations, the conversations on social media, are people saying safe space, but then they're treating each other so horribly online that you actually, you like, what do you mean? Because you don't live that life. You're a hypocrite. That's what you're saying. You want a safe space, but all you can do is lay out ugliness for other people, you know?
And you know what I don't hear enough of ever is nobody ever tells me how much of a prick they are, like what they've done to be a prick in this situation. Like, why don't I hear more about that? What did you do to cause a certain situation? All conflict is double-sided, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it can't just be the world is horrible. What are you doing? What's your part in the conflict, in people saying nasty stuff to you? Because sometimes there's bullies, right? Not everybody's bullies. Very few people are, actually. Otherwise, the world wouldn't function like it does.
Sure.
What did you do? Nobody ever tells me that. And I always find that a really interesting commentary on where we are.
And we're suddenly back to a subject that keeps raising its ugly head on the show, personal responsibility and accountability, and the willingness of people to take the blame for things that have gone wrong or right in their life. The blame or the credit. If you want the credit, you've got to take the blame. If you want the blame, or if you don't want the blame, you've got to take the credit. Right?
Or, like my father says, everything's your fault. So let's start community.
Okay, I'm not sure, like, you're the most balanced human being in the world either. So let's just hold off for a minute there. All right, so we got lots to do this morning, and one of the things that everybody loves on a Monday morning is Collectomania. It is brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and Scoin Shop. You can check them out at Scoin Shop, scoinshop.com. So just in case you don't know, after an 18-month postponement due to COVID-19, the world can finally see the latest James Bond film. Remember, we were meant to see it last year, but it's finally come out. It's called No Time to Die, Mr. Bond. No Time to Die. Bond is finally also in a coin collection. The Royal Mint. Yes, the Royal Mint releases these coins every now and then. Take a look at these. Aren't those great? They've got.
I'm so glad it doesn't feature in one of the actors, because you'd have to bring out loads more.
Exactly.
But those are quite generic.
This is an amazing three-coin series that's been designed to include the iconic imagery of the Aston Martin, the submarine, and the tuxedo, all looking very, very sharp in those coins. You can have a look at all of them. It's fantastic. When placed together, these three coins cleverly reveal the 007 configuration, but only when you hold them together. So it's very, very cool. And the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop have exclusive distribution of all three coins, and the first two in the series have already been sold out. The final coin in the three-part series is available, but not for long, so you need to get these ASAP. You can test your James Bond knowledge with the 007 quiz for a chance to win a James Bond 1 ounce silver coin. Get to scoinshop.com to check all of that out now. And remember, if you're a collector of anything interesting or unusual, you can get in touch with us on contact@cliffcentral.com. We are waiting to hear from you so we can share your amazing collection with everybody else. So, Matt,
before we get to Matt.
Yeah.
Sorry. Having seen the Bond thing, we had at supper on Saturday, we were having a good time, and we had a very heated argument about the fact that Daniel Craig is easily the worst James Bond ever, because he looks like a bouncer, and I always like Connery, you know, smooth, suave, and Daniel Craig looks like a bouncer in a suit. Doesn't he look like a oak who wants to clop you in four ways? I want my Bond more Pierce Brosnan, man. But, like, do you know what I mean?
You're saying a little more refined. I don't know.
He looks like
I sort of lost interest in James Bond somewhere in the Pierce Brosnan era. I used to be a massive Bond fan. I used to love the movies. I actually watched one or two of them last year during lockdown, just to kind of reacquaint myself with the whole thing. I'm not the biggest James Bond fan. I remember Ben is, and he's got like lots to say about this, but I don't know. I didn't mind Pierce Brosnan. My favorite Bond was Roger Moore, because that was the era I grew up in. So, you know, those movies were just like peak Bond in my book. I know lots of people who are massive Sean Connery fans. There's probably going to be a different Bond after Daniel Craig that some people will love and someone will hate. It's you know, this is such an subjective thing. For you, Mbulelo, you don't like Daniel Craig. Some people think he's the best Bond because they just saw him for the first time now. They didn't see
Connery. Who are these people? And keep them away from our children. They don't deserve to be in our society.
Gen Z, they are the children. Maybe they're the ones who didn't know what... They don't get to watch Sean Connery and, you know, see him smack...
Idris Elba all the way. That's what I'm saying.
You think Idris Elba's the guy?
Mm.
Okay, well, he may be...
Caitlyn Jenner. I say Caitlyn Jenner because I want to save space.
All right, enough of this nonsense. You can get those amazing James Bond coins from the Scoin Shop. Find out more at cliffcentral.com or go straight to them, scoinshop.com. But now it's time to bring Matt on. Matt Carter sent us an email. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. So Matt's been working in the coffee industry for 10 years. He's collected a vast array of alternative brewing methods, and these are different ways to brew coffee that aren't espresso machines. So he's got some pretty wild stuff in his collection. First of all, you heard all of our coffee stuff last week, I hope, because we've been...
Yeah, definitely.
We've been zeroing in on coffee for the last 2 weeks. Just coincidentally, your collection fits right in with that theme. So tell us about how this all started and what exactly you do in the coffee industry.
Sure, yeah. So it started probably when I was about 4. My uncle, I got vivid memories going to his house, and he has a moka pot. It's an old Italian style that kind of screws together, and it makes an espresso style beverage. And he's sitting on the floor, and he used to do yoga, so his feet are wrapped around the bottom of this thing. He's trying to tighten it. And so that's the first memory I have of coffee, of like proper coffee is about 4. And I kind of fell in love with the whole idea of the, like the community and the family of coffee. And it's kind of played through the rest of my life. And so now I work, like you said, full time in the coffee industry. And my job is to go to all these incredible countries, sourcing the best coffee, bring it home, roast it and sell it. Yeah.
Wow. Mbulelo, this is right up your street.
Hey, Matt, what's happening?
And I also ran. So Mbulelo, it's been lucky to chat to you finally.
I'll let you guys have a chat for a little while Leanne and I...
We can align our fourth chakra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. A refined man. So, that is awesome, man. Sure.
That's an interesting business to be in. No. So obviously, because you travel the world and you get to source interesting coffees from all over the place, and you obviously know a lot about coffee, you collect the equipment as well.
That's it.
When did the collection of equipment start? Did you also get that from your grandfather?
A little bit. So a little bit of it came from that side. So some of the stuff that I have, I'll just bring something into view here. Yep. This here is made in Japan. It's a Hario siphon. And it's got this little beautiful gold inlay, and the coffee gets brewed in the top in the perfect temperature, and it gets vacuumed down to the bottom. And this here is made probably in the 60s, that this was made in Japan. So that was inherited. I've got a hand grinder that was also inherited. But officially, it started in 2015. I had an espresso machine, and I just realized it was a lot of energy. It was a lot of space. It was a lot of water. So I thought, I actually don't really like espresso as much as I like the filter or the alternative brew styles. So I just got rid of all my espresso machines and started buying these quirky alternative brew methods. So today I've got about 34 different ways to make coffee.
Look at these.
Yeah,
this is on the screen at the moment. I've got a whole bunch of them on show.
Awesome.
First of all, some of them, are those dirty? In other words, you haven't taken the coffee out of them, or is that just how they look?
Some of them are a little bit dirty. I didn't know Dory would put that one up. I sent a much nicer one for her to put up.
Okay, well.
That was just to hook you guys.
Tell us about
this. Yeah, that's a pretty one.
Tell us about this. This is beautiful. It looks like it's made of copper and glass.
Exactly, yeah. So that there makes coffee. It takes about 12 hours to make a coffee with that. Sure. And it drops one drop of coffee per second. And you can adjust it. There's a little knob on the side there. And you can adjust it so it drops at the perfect drop rate.
Wow. 12 hours.
for a coffee, yeah. And it comes out cold as well, obviously, because it's taken 12 hours. But it's a Japanese style of making coffee that makes it incredibly smooth and incredibly delicious, especially if you mix it into a cocktail. Make it as use the cold brew as an ingredient. It's actually really delicious. So
do you warm it up afterwards if you want a warm cup of coffee?
Yeah, and you can. You can mix it with a little bit of hot water because it's quite concentrated. But what I normally do is just mix it with some ice and a little bit of pouring cream or a little bit of full cream milk. That just makes a very nice, refreshing, now coming into summer, really nice, refreshing beverage.
That sounds amazing.
That's awesome.
What of all these things that you have, all these machines that you make coffee with, which one is your favorite one and which one makes the very best coffee? Because I didn't know that you could find a machine that would make a 12-hour coffee. But you must have experimented with all of them at some point and decided which one is your favorite. So if you feel like treating yourself, which one do you use and how long does it take?
So it really depends on the coffee. I think you tasted the coffee with Ishan last week and you realized that coffee is completely different. And each coffee is so different. So what I'm drinking this morning, is this guy here. This is, Hario as well, also Japanese, made out of glass, and it's just filters through. I put a filter paper in the top and I pour hot water through it, and it's just a very smooth, delicious coffee. And that's my daily driver, as it were.
Wow.
So that's what I'll make my coffee with every morning. But then when I travel, I'll adapt and I'll take something that's more adaptable to travel. So I've got another one that's the size of an iPhone that I travel with.
Incredible. You're obviously very picky then. You're not just going to drink any coffee. I mean, that's another thing you and Bulelo have in common. But what kind of beans or roast or grounds do you use?
Yeah. So I always say I'm not a coffee snob. I'll drink any good coffee. Mm-hmm. As long as it's good.
As long as it's made properly, too.
It really depends. At the moment, I'm really enjoying South Central American coffee. So Colombia and Brazil this season are having a really good flavor year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we had some really incredible Indonesian coffees coming through. So it really does change season on season. This year just happens to be Colombia and Brazil. Mm-hmm. But I do get the benefit of traveling to these countries and really finding the farmers and working with the farmers to improve the quality and quantity of coffee coming out as well. So I do have a little bit of bias, unfortunately, where you get to know the farmer. And so their coffee tastes a lot better than anyone else that season because you worked with them yesterday.
Yeah, as soon as there's a good story behind it, it starts to feel different. It's like when you've met the winemaker or the cheese
exactly.
maker.
So what is going on here? There's a picture up here. Let me explain to people who are listening. It looks like a chemical experiment. You've essentially got a round bottom flask with a flame underneath it. And then you've got some kind of an accessory on the side that seems to contain something, or else it's a handle. I can't really figure that out.
It's a handle, yeah.
It's a handle. So you're boiling water in the flask at the bottom. And then there's obviously some coffee in the top or something, and it's percolating through. Is that what's happening there?
Correct. I actually took this photo just for you, Gareth, because I knew it would get that little science mind of yours going on the chemistry side. So it's called a coffee siphon. It's very similar to that one I just showed you that I inherited.
Yeah.
But what happens is it heats the water in the bottom, and steam pressure pushes it all up into the top chamber. And that top chamber is held at 94 degrees for as long as you have the heat on. And that to extract the coffee is the perfect temperature. So it sits in there, you extract for about 3 minutes, give it a stir, switch the heat off, and a vacuum is created in the bottom. And the coffee is moved through a filter back down into the bottom chamber. You remove that top section, which now has the ground coffee. And at the bottom section, like you rightly said, that handle is what you pour from. And so for dinner parties, when you're hosting people, if you really want to impress them, you bring out the fire and that particular brewing device. And that's really, it does wow the crowd.
Hey, it's not personally
my favorite way to make coffee, but yeah.
A friend of mine gave me a birthday present. I'm going to go and fetch it quickly. This year she gave it to me, and it kind of what you were showing me now just reminded me of that. So I'm just going to go and get it for you, and you can tell me what you think. Hang on. Speak among yourselves in the meantime.
Yeah, while Gareth's gone, I just wanted to know, as you get into coffee, obviously you prefer different ways, but where do you stand on drinking purely single origin and versus blends? And, people may get into it. Yeah, Gareth. That's fine. Now he's got nothing to show us, so we can just answer the question. Where do you stand on that? A blend versus single origin, and some people may be getting into coffee. Where do you stand on that?
So I think, especially for when I do drink espresso-based beverages, and I think blending is a lot nicer, because then you've got all the you find a lot more balance, and the human palate really likes balance. But if you really want to taste the coffee for where it comes from and get to understand it, and like Leanne was rightly saying there with the winemaker, you really want to taste that single origin, so the Kenya, the Ethiopia, and really discover the country as it is. So I don't have a firm stand, unfortunately, on this. But when I drink my single origin in the morning, that's what I'd go for. But my espresso-based beverages, I head towards blends.
So I found
that's
it.
Incredible. Did you break that contract?
No, luckily not. Nothing broke.
Okay.
But I did drop one part of it, so it was because I thought it was all connected.
What the hell?
So this thing is—it's also copper. Let me just get this full screen so you can see what's going on here.
Yeah.
So it's got copper pipes. It's got like a gas burner here under this flask. So you'd obviously put water in here. And then this piece over here is where the coffee goes. Let me just take this out of here.
So this was bought for you, and
you
haven't used it yet.
The coffee goes in there, and then obviously it would filter down into this after it's been percolating in there. No, I haven't used it yet, but I'm going to. I mean, I love it because it looks like laboratory equipment. Well, it is. I mean, this is a proper round bottom flask and everything. But it's nice. It's cool to have something like that. It just looks cool as well.
I just thought I'd finished growing my collection. I didn't need anything else, and now suddenly I need something else. I need to find out where your friend got that.
Yeah, I'll find out for you, because it seems like you're the guy who needs to have this, you know? This is the thing. This is the thing about it. So, you know, all of this stuff is interesting to me, because obviously with technology and with science and with the fact that coffee's become such a big deal, people are experimenting with new ways to do things. Are there any machines that, because you often go into a fancy coffee shop and they've got these things that hiss and make noises, and they're
so obnoxious.
They're loud,
so obnoxious.
And they grind up the beans, and my God, it just sounds like all kinds of hell are exploding in these things. Are those machines better, or do you like the quiet kind of stuff that you use at home that drips one drip every every second, and it takes 12 hours to make a cup?
So I just think each one has its own place. So in a cafe, you're not going to sit there for 12 hours waiting for your cup of coffee. So there, the espresso machine comes into play, where you're going to get your coffee in two, three minutes, and you're going to have a great cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, they are loud and obnoxious, but there are ways to turn them down. So some of the new grinders and a lot of, like you're saying, the technology is moving towards a lot quieter. So and then also making them smaller. So some of them actually fit completely under the counter. So you've just got the single group head on top of the counter. So you've got more interaction with people and able to see the barista making your coffee. So at home, I do prefer the quieter, simpler, slower ways to make coffee, without getting into chakras too much. But it is a little bit meditative, and it is a little bit of that slow pouring method. And an average coffee will take me about 5 minutes, 6 minutes to make a cup of coffee in the morning. But it's that state of mind where you can just slow down, make your cup of coffee, and enjoy it. And it's that process. And when I go out for coffee, if I go to a cafe, I don't need that process. Then it's about the relationship, because you and I have gone out for coffee. We're going to sit across the table from each other, have a chat, and I don't need to spend 5-10 minutes making, or 8 hours making a cup of coffee. I just want a quick cup of coffee so we can build that relationship and have a chat.
Amazing. Amazing.
What is it?
And I love that point. Yeah. Sorry, Leanne, go ahead.
I'm not a mother, and I don't know very many small children. I think I know one. But what are you, is there an age limit or an age that you should not drink coffee from until?
Yeah, they say probably about 13, 14, but there's no scientific evidence behind that that I've come across. The biggest thing for me is the sleep thing. So caffeine, the way it works in your brain, the caffeine kind of intercepts with the part that tells your brain to go to sleep. So caffeine doesn't give you energy. That's a big misconception. So all it does is make you not want to or be able to sleep. And I think that's where parents I mean, you want your kid to go to sleep at the end of the day.
Well, it's the same. It's the same reason that parents don't give their kids sugar late in the afternoon or evening, because otherwise they also
that's where energy does come in.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So if you drink a Red Bull, it's got the caffeine, but you see all the other stuff that it's got in there, and that's what gives it energy. Whereas the caffeine is just to stop you falling asleep. So yeah, I don't drink coffee past 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock is my cutoff, because otherwise, sleep and I have a pretty bad relationship.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, Moonchild is just going straight to the most important part of this. And it's also, I love these questions, because she's obviously Moonchild, he or she, is just a no-bullshit kind of person. Where does the best coffee come from? They want a straightforward answer. They don't want to hear you vacillate between, oh, well, this year it's good in Brazil, or last year it was good in Kenya. Like, where do you think the best coffee comes from? Bulelo, I know, well, you can say it after Matt's had his turn.
So if I were to drink coffee from one country for the rest of my life, it would be Ethiopia. You've just got so much diversity. It's the birthplace of coffee. It's where coffee was originally discovered hundreds of years ago. And every time I've had a cup of coffee from there, there's a little bit of something special there. And I get to travel there fairly regularly. And it is one of my scariest places to travel in many ways, because it's just so weird and so different. But you know you're going to find something extraordinary when it comes to coffee. So in my opinion, it would be, but it is subjective, but in my opinion, it would be Ethiopia.
Wow. Bulelo?
Ivory Coast, no doubt. The best cup of coffee I've ever had is in the Ivory Coast. They've got like sensational, smooth, strong. But it's weird there, because they don't have actually a coffee culture and industry. They just export that, and like all their cocoa just goes out, and it's insane the quality they've got. This Ivory Coast for me.
Steph is chiming in. Steph says, best coffee shop I've ever been to was Intelligentsia in Chicago. They use scientific lab apparatus to make coffee. It blew my mind.
Intelligentsia is one of the forefathers of that movement. They really is a great company. Yeah.
All right, well, Matt, I mean, this is terrific. Thank you for sharing your collection with us this morning. I'm always blown away by what people collect and what their obsessions are, and this is just another one that we didn't even know about. It's ironic that last week we were talking coffee with the Starbucks people, and now we're talking coffee with you, and this time it's about the equipment. So for those who are obsessed, I hope you're happy. We've really given coffee plenty of attention in the last 2 weeks.
And you brew, Matt. Do you have a brewery? I mean,
I don't own the roastery, but I work for a coffee roastery. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to trying your coffee then.
Very awesome.
Yeah, definitely. If you're at the office, I can swing by and drop some off for you.
There we go.
Take it down to align your chakras there.
That's
nice.
All right, very good. I love it. Matt, thank you so much, man. Good to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. If you've got a collection and you want to share it with us, then let us know. Just send an email to contact@cliffcentral.com. And I think I've got to maybe put this thing to use and actually make something with it at some point. Because it
should be inspired now.
But it looks so beautiful. I almost don't want to, you know, ruin it by turning on the flame.
Stain it with coffee.
Anyway. It'll be fun. It'll be fun to do. I'm looking forward to using that. I'll tell you how it goes if I actually make the coffee and it tastes any good. Because sometimes, the one thing I don't do in the laboratory, and I've got a lab here, as you know if you listen to the show, one thing I don't do in the lab is taste things or eat. Generally, that leads to death in a laboratory.
So. Yeah.
In fact, I never even have food in the laboratory, just as a matter of course, because if something falls and, you know, you think, oh, well, 5-second rule, not in a laboratory. You don't want to take that chance.
No.
5-second rule.
Rule 101, don't eat
5 seconds until you're dead is what that rule is. You never know. Anyway, very cool stuff.
But I love that collection, hey? It's, I mean, I am biased, but of all the things we've had collected, that's my favorite one, because coffee brings people together. All of the other stuff, like I love football, I've got football shirts, but that's just about me, you know, and the whole of life isn't just about one person. Coffee is an awesome thing because people gather whether you like it or not. Yeah, so it's a very cool community collection as well. Very, very cool one.
Listen, we've seen the weird and the wild and the wonderful, and we're not finished with this yet. If you have a good collection, share it with us. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. We've had amazing stuff that people are absolutely over the top about. I mean, some people have converted more rooms in their house than many of us have rooms in our house just to accommodate their collections. So don't be shy. Share it. This is the stuff that makes us all interesting. Anyway, Angus says, Gareth, remember the Wuhan lab? Yeah, I'm not dealing with any virology here, that's for sure.
Angus.
No. Not going there. Jenny says, copy.
One of our collectors bought an apartment for his sapiens. I don't know if you remember
that's right.
That guy.
That's right. He bought a whole apartment just to store plastic apes.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell me again how normal you think that is. Jenny says, coffee originated from Ethiopia. Africa can claim this. Yes, we can.
There's also a claim by the people in Yemen. People in Yemen say they invented coffee. So that one is up for debate even in the coffee circles.
All right.
So it's still raging on.
Steph says, in Italy, people drink power shots at the coffee bar counter in less than a minute. That's espresso. I've started to like a little bit of espresso. I never did before. I used to like, you know, cappuccinos and things that had a whole lot of milk in them. But I'm slowly starting to, I think, mature in terms of my taste. And now I think I prefer a little espresso.
But here's the rule. Cappuccino, breakfast, coffee. You must remember that. Yeah. Cappuccino, breakfast, coffee. Espresso is post-lunch.
Okay.
Just so you know, like if you want to keep it.
Yeah, Italians frown upon cappuccino just being drunk at any time of the day.
Mm.
I was very respectful through this entire session, you know, knowing that I don't drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a choice. I love the smell of it, but I get horrible migraines from it. I can't even lift my head. I have to have a home call doctor come and rescue me after I've had coffee.
I mean, there are people who are hugely, hugely allergic to caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot.
But that's one of the reasons why I used the word obnoxious when I was referring to the machines. Mm. Because going into these coffee places where you can't even hear the person scream that your coffee's ready because of the machines, it blows my mind. I don't understand. I don't understand how much time and effort people put into ordering coffee and how many different types there are. And I mean, I'm a loose tea drinker, so a loose leaf tea drinker. So I'm also a loose tea drinker.
Yeah, you're loose and a tea drinker, and you're also a loose tea drinker. That's what you're trying to say. All right, very nice.
So I do get it, but yeah.
Okay, so that's a wrap on a fairly busy Monday morning. My God, we've got to squeeze some more in tomorrow. Mbulelo will be in the Tsitsikamma Forest. We've got Lebang joining us tomorrow morning, and you joining us tomorrow morning. Let us know what you're up to, and we will definitely include any ideas that you have. Contact at cliffcentral.com. Have an awesome Monday, everybody. We'll see you on the morrow. Be good. Cliffcentral.com.